This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So we've successfully middled Sundayed. We're now at the end of Manic Monday, and we've rather carelessly lost the world number one. Ash Barty's gone out, so Matt Roberts, Catherine Whittaker and myself are crowded around a picnic table overlooking Court 18 with Jamie Murray still in doubles action. All of the Manic Monday singles matches have come and gone. I am being One Wine Law today, and I'm quite enjoying it.
I've never met One Wine Law before. This is an experiment.
No telling what might happen.
Have you hit record then?
I have hit record, yeah. We're on 57 seconds, so give me 28 minutes from now, and
things could get fun.
I might be saying other things that I normally don't. We might. No promises here, folks. We might get joined by Simon Briggs soon. We've asked him, but he's trying to write articles for the newspaper.
He's playing hard to get.
Yeah, he is. We've been trying to get him all week long, and now he's finally said he might. So that sounds promising. Ash Barty, then, out. What happened?
She got beat fair and square.
Yeah.
She played really well. It was a great, great match.
Who was she beaten by?
And Alison Risk.
Oh, yeah.
Was just a fraction better.
Yeah. This match started with four aces from the racket of Ash Barty in the first game. I mean, literally four in a row. And at that point, it was comedy stuff, Matt, really, because I think you're the one who alerted me to the fact that this had happened. And I'm thinking, you know, yes, I was joking the other day about how she could beat doubles teams on her own, and it suddenly started to look like she might. But it all turned around. She did win the first set, though.
Yeah, she did win the first set, and she was playing really well in the first set, and we were... That game of aces was sort of backing up what we've been saying all year about how she's such a maximiser of her serve. I mean, I do wonder whether anyone who's 5'5" has ever served a whole game of aces before. That could be a first.
You don't know.
No, I don't.
This is the man who knows what is the matchup with the most K's in a
Matt
name.
Matt peaked today, folks.
To be fair, I don't know that that was the answer. I just knew that it was more than
me. Somebody tweeted Matt, and said, I mean, it was a great tweet for start. I applaud the bloke, I think it was a bloke, that sent the tweet saying, I'm watching Kukushkin against Nishikori. Is this, I'm sat here wondering if this is the most K's that's ever featured in a matchup before. And Matt just casually, flippantly replied, not sure, but I know that Kukushkin has played Kokkinakis before at Davis Cup.
which was 7Ks. But you don't know about Ash Barty and 5'5"
afraid not.
4A service.
But I'm willing to say that it's the first time
.
Until someone comes up with evidence to the contrary.
So basically, Alison Risk has won all of her matches, all four of them, in three sets this fortnight. And she started off by beating Donna Vekic.
Under the Court 1 roof.
Yeah. And then I can't remember who she
played. Jorovic in round two.
Jorovic, that was about 9-7 in the third. Mm. But who was the one she beat in round three?
Belinda Bencic.
Oh, crikey. I mean, what a run this is.
Mm. Yeah, heck of a run. All players with a lot of variety.
Mm.
I have to say, I don't know a whole lot about Jorovic. Maybe not Vekic. Okay, maybe I'm just saying Bencic and Barty both have a lot of variety. But it was interesting. I thought she might not match up that well against those sorts of players because of the similarity. I thought it might be a sort of Ferrer-Nadal type situation where she would just come up that little bit short. But I couldn't believe what she did today. She is mentally almost perfect. Mm. She's so level-headed.
She doesn't miss on grass, does she?
No, she doesn't.
Pat Cash was telling me this. He said, you know, he's been around her a fair bit before, I guess with Coco Vandeweghe, you know, when he was coaching her. And he said, on the surface, she just does not miss. And these sort of low balls, she just handles them so easily.
I don't know about you, but I was surprised at how much power she had. I mean, look, she's not a bludgeoner of a tennis ball, but I didn't know she had power like she produced today.
She jumped all over Barty's second serve, whose percentage is John McEnroe taps David on the shoulder.
It's more of a whack, actually.
Ow. I mean,
he's walking to the today at Wimbledon studio unaccompanied by security tonight.
I mean, he could have come on the show rather than assaulting me.
He's in disguise. He's got a baseball hat on.
It's not a disguise, man. He sleeps in that.
That's just standard.
I think he
wardrobe.
Sleeps in Converse and Yankees cap.
Let's get him
and
on the show.
Suit.
Where were we before that rude interruption?
Yeah, well, she Risk just every weapon of Barty's just Risk seemed to be able to deal with. She dealt with her serve, she dealt with her low slices, and as Catherine said, so level-headed. And the word that came to me was relentless. Like, every point she plays with the same focus, the same intensity. She just brings it every point. There was absolutely no let-up for Ash Barty. So she's now won 14 matches on grass this season, Alison Risk. She's in such good form.
Where else has she been winning these matches?
She won Surbiton, she won Hertogenbosch, and then she lost in the first round in Mallorca, but, you know, she got all those wins beforehand, so she went into Mallorca a bit fatigued, and now she comes to Wimbledon and she's just carried it on.
Is she in the mix? I mean, I'm asking that seriously now.
I think she has to
she's
be,
in
yeah.
the quarterfinals. Does
I
that
do think she's in the mix.
Yeah, agreed.
She's playing Serena Williams.
She has got Serena.
But
Serena's not really been tested
yet. I'm not saying that with any sort of smirk on my face, because the way the woman is playing, you feel this could be on.
Well, you have to pick it to be on.
Yeah. Thanks for outing that on Twitter. The gist of it was, I said a couple of days ago, didn't I, that Ash Barty will win the title or whoever beats her will. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. I kind of expected that if anybody was going to beat her, it would be Serena Williams in the quarterfinals. So I thought I was on fairly safe ground. But I might still be. And then I might look even more of a genius.
It's funny that before the tournament, everybody, us included, were talking about the section of death and what Barty, no matter how good she's playing, would have to come through to reach the finals, semi-finals, whatever. Maybe Risk got an honourable mention, but the quarter of death candidates for beating Barty, none of them were Alison Risk.
No, but that is what I love about the sport. I mean, it infuriates me as well, especially when I have to put up my neck on the line and look stupid. But as a competitive sport, you do get upsets here, and we've had a couple today, haven't we? And this is the biggest one of the lot. What happened to Barty, though? Do we think that she had any sort of letdown today? Maybe because of the French Open, maybe because of anything else, or is it just Alison Risk?
I thought she played really well. I mean, it didn't look quite as superlative as other performances, but that's down to the opposition, isn't it? I really think she played well and was beaten today, and that can happen to anyone. I really think it was about tennis today.
And I don't want to discredit any of what Barty has done in the last month. It's been extraordinary, but she hasn't perhaps had the toughest opposition all along the way. If you look at the sort of rankings of the people she's beaten, they've not been really high consistently. And Risk, okay, her ranking is not that high, but as grass court ranking, she's right up there with her form. But I thought Barty was... I thought she had a really good perspective on it in her press conference. She was... To compare her press conference to the ones we saw earlier in the tournament with Zverev and Tsitsipas and Osaka, when they're all so depressed about losing, Barty really just said, you know, these things happen, I've had a good run, I came up against a better player. And she's been quoting Disney films in her press conferences throughout, and she
thought she was getting away with it,
but
I mean,
she was rumbled.
Anybody Little Mermaid literate knew exactly what was going on,
and anybody who's interviewed her and got a very different response when she's not doing Disney lines.
Well, today it was an Annie quote that she came up with, which was the sun will come up tomorrow after a loss, and she said it with beaming smile.
That's the most obvious line, that's the most memorable line from the film. If she's trying to sneak mentions in.
I think it's a worthy effort. Good on you, Ash Barty. More of that.
And so Risk, who now plays Serena, and Serena and Risk have played doubles together a few times, apparently. Oh. So they kind of know each other. And Serena had some nice words about Risk, saying she doesn't let anything limit her, which I think goes with what we were saying about that intensity and that sort of level-headedness that she brings. She doesn't get overawed by occasions.
Serena was more like herself today, wasn't she? As an out-of-breath Simon Briggs takes his seat on the picnic table. We'll just give him a second or two to gather himself. As Matt tells me, who Serena Williams beat today, because I can't remember.
Carlos Suarez Navarro.
Thank you. And that dare record.
You forget Carlos Suarez between Navarro. The two. He's on the boat, by the way.
Carlos Suarez Navarro's on the boat. All right. Well, on what grounds?
She's great, isn't she?
In what regard?
There's no grounds, David. It's just a feel. You're either in or you're out.
This is your dad's verdict, is it? Right. Okay. When did he come to this?
Today. Watching it today.
After a wine or before?
Pre-wine. They were on first. Pre-wine,
right,
I think.
Okay. Well, she's cast iron certainty. She's on the boat.
She wouldn't let you down, would she?
But she's on the boat.
She might if
Wimbledon.
Serena was on the boat
she's
with her,
Wimbledon,
but
and she's,
she's looking for a boat.
She has never extended Serena Williams past 6-4.
Past 6-3 and 14 sets.
Oh, dear. Let's say hello to Simon Briggs. Hello, Simon Briggs.
I'm loving the snacks up here. Have we talked about those?
Yes.
They're looking pretty healthy. Yeah. Red currants.
There's only one of
chocolate
us who's got a glass of wine, and that's me.
I can't tell if that is chocolate or is that...
it's biltong.
Biltong. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
That looks disgusting.
No, it's not. It's divine.
Not going anywhere near that. That doesn't really go with podcast recording, though, Simon. Okay. I don't think the sound effect on that is going to really be that... he's doing it anyway. Let's talk amongst ourselves. We can always fade that particular microphone out for the next 2 minutes.
Pretty good.
Simon Briggs is here not just to discuss snacks and eat them.
Matt Solana says that's the best biltong he's ever tasted.
Is
just
it really?
By the by.
And how does he
and
know about
he's married to a South
this?
African, Matt.
Right, and has he been here?
Yeah, snacking? No, I've brought him this very biltong before.
Oh, it's all happening it's here what, on the tennis
it's,
podcast.
It's what I...
Not the one Simon just put in his mouth.
No, different one. Simon, how's your Wimbledon been? It's the first time we've had the pleasure of your company.
Yeah, well, it was a good first week. I mean, there were three stories that broke out of the tennis bubble and went mainstream.
They were what, from a Telegraph tennis correspondent perspective?
Nick Kyrgios and Rafa, Serena and Andy and Corey Gauff.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to her, shall we? Because she obviously came through the qualifying, beats Venus Williams, won her next two matches, the incredible come-from-behind win against Polona Herzog, who... yes, didn't have her finest hour when she was trying to close it out. But then today, I don't know, was that more or less what you expected today?
Oh, yeah, I totally
Simona
thought,
Halep beating
totally thought Halep would beat her. It would have been by far the biggest of the shocks yet if she'd come through that, particularly with all the cumulative exhaustion that must have been building up mentally and physically, having come through qualifying. I mean, I thought Halep would have probably had to blow up or sort of blow a gasket or just... choke or something for her to come through, and Halep was pretty solid despite some tough early games. I mean, I was unable to watch the second set. I think, did it coincide with Conta? I was on Conta duty.
Yeah,
I did a bit, yeah.
So there goes the biltong. So I think it looked like a decent performance, the bit I saw, but I always thought Halep would probably have too much experience for her.
What I was surprised about, I got sent out at the start of our coverage on Five Live to the practice courts for the first time, actually, this tournament, and to see Coco Gauff and Joe Konta and Simona Halep and Novak Djokovic just doing their practice sessions. And when I arrived there, Gauff was there going through her workout and hitting slices and drop shots and all the rest of it with, there were about five people in attendance. And then the other three arrived about 20 minutes later, and they all left before she did. They must have done maybe 20 minutes practicing as a sort of warm-up. She was there for over an hour. And I was really surprised to see her really getting a sweat on and going through this really hard training block, it felt
like. Do you
think
she ever did it?
I mean, it's sort of... I look at it now, and I mean, at the time I thought, why is she out there for this long? I don't quite get it. And then... she looked really underpowered and not very well when she was on the court. I mean, maybe it was a fitness test or something like that to see if she was fit enough to play.
She did say she wasn't feeling 100% today. She said that in the press conference. She was a bit ill today.
So then...
But why practice for longer?
You lessen your time on the practice court, surely, to conserve.
Oh, there's boos around because Court 18, I think, has just been suspended due to bad light, and everybody's walking around us and they're all disgruntled and they're all going... getting angry, and we might get a riot on our hands here around
it's
the picnic
like,
table.
That live. Scene in The Lion King when Mufasa dies.
Yeah, oh dear, everybody's murmuring, oh dear, couldn't they have played in this? Anyway, go on, Simon.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I got heaps on social media, and not in a good way, on Saturday night when I was called.
When is it ever in a good way?
Yeah, you don't get heaps of praise, do you? You can write what you think the best story of your career is, and it sort of floats into nothingness. And then you kind of you put out something that's a bit vulnerable to attack, and
if you happen to know off the top of your head the match featuring the most K's in a name in two names of all time, then you get praise on social media.
Okay, well I was counting the K's. There's 43 K's in the men's and women's draws.
This is K stats I didn't have.
Did Charlie mention the K stats? We have a sort of running debate about K stats.
I mean, folks, just so you know, we haven't planned this. He's just coming out with stuff.
Charlie and I have been talking about K's for a couple of years, so you're a bit late to the party.
Matt got quizzed on Twitter today by somebody who was on court two watching Kukushkin Nishikori, and who was pondering whether that was the most K's ever seen.
But that's really a K match as well.
Casually tossed out that he knew that Kukushkin had played Kokkinakis at Davis Cup.
I mean, there's
45 S's. But I mean, as Charlie said, you know, K's punching above its weight, isn't it? Because S, you know, S is going to be a heavyweight if you're talking about surnames in the men's and women's singles draw. But K at 43, second place, that is
second place
performing highly above its expected ranking.
Hang on, we're talking consonants only here, right?
We're talking surnames.
But we're not including vowels.
Yeah,
oh, no, do you mean first letter, initial letter? Initial letter. Yeah. Got it.
43 players beginning with K.
We may struggle to get back onto important issues now.
I don't quite know what to do with this information.
One of them's Kuzmova.
Highbrow chat here on the tennis
talk
podcast.
Talk about punching above your weight.
Where was I?
I was talking about how I was getting heaps on social media.
Yes.
Because I was called into action. I wasn't doing the Gauff match. I guess it looked like she was going to lose. And then it got quite exciting, and it got 5.2 million on BBC. We didn't know that viewing figure at the time, but we could tell it was big. So I got to ask to write a comment piece in half an hour, and I kind of went fairly hypey. Not denying that.
Did you get carried away?
I mean, I think it's tricky because, like, the tennis bubble will know that, you know, I was probably going a bit strong, but...
I don't think you're alone.
You kind of have to be excited when things are exciting. I mean, where's the fun in life otherwise? We are talking about sport here. So.
And I have to say...
I take the point of those who made an objection that I was overplaying my hand, turning the volume up to 11 in Spinal Tap style, but...
I get this when I commentate occasionally, and the truth is, I think you go with the crowd to a large degree. You commentate with them, and that's your barometer. Incidentally, but generally speaking, with Coco Gauff, how big a deal did it feel for the paper when you were talking to your desk?
It's been amazing how it's taken off. I mean...
She was being talked about on Jeremy Vine on Channel 5 this morning. People were phoning in to give their views on... Yeah, it wasn't pretty, and but it was happening.
She's just so likeable, isn't she? And I mean, she's described herself as goofy... Didn't she? And
goofy and weird.
I can tell you, no 15-year-old girls aren't goofy.
That's the second sort of new star of the moment who's described themselves as goofy and weird in 6 months, isn't it? After Naomi Osaka.
Oh, yeah.
You also put people pointed out that I dropped Osaka like a stone.
Don't worry, you're fitting in with Matt here because he does that on a slam basis. The other thing I gathered from going out to the practice courts this morning, first time I've been there, so I didn't realise that they'd actually... covered two of the practice courts over with I don't know whether it's a tarmac or something like that, but and made it into what I can only describe as like a school playground, and it's a training area, an outdoor training area for the players so that they can warm up and they can lounge about on some beanbags and sofas, but then they get, they put themselves through the paces, warm up, and you can see players kicking a football around. It genuinely does look like a school kid's playground. And you'd got Johanna Konter out there playing with what looked like an elaborate version of Tig with her coach, just sort of running about and trying to avoid getting touched on the shoulder, etc. You'd got Novak Djokovic. What is it about Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer that makes them put their cap on back to front during practice? I mean, it was like non-uniform day. I don't know. Anyway, so that's where I was this morning. So we've dealt with Ash Barty and her defeat. We've dealt with any views? Surprise?
Yeah, totally surprised. I mean, I know Risk is on a great run of form, but the level she played at was extraordinary. I didn't meet Risk last year because I was talking to Paul Hutchins, the late lamented Paul Hutchins, on the competitor's lawn, and Risk came up to chat. And what a fantastic person she is. So articulate, likeable. I was really impressed by her. She felt like somebody who had a real, like, social skills.
Real person.
Like, not a tennis
well-rounded
player.
Well-rounded human being.
Amazing, yeah. I was so impressed. So really happy to see her win, although obviously Barty's a likeable player as well. Great match.
It's interesting.
And now Serena.
Interesting you should mention Paul Hutchins there, because I've never met Alison Risk, but when Paul passed away earlier this year, I put a tweet out just to give my own personal memories of him and what a great guy he is and was, and she replied to it, which, and I don't know her at all, and she replied to it just to sort of agree with it and give some of her personal memories of him. I think he was somebody who really helped nurture her and encourage her and support her in her younger years. It was really quite something.
And she mentioned him in her press conference today.
Did she?
And saying how she has a close affinity with Wimbledon and the club, and she was always recognised by Phil and Jill and Paul as well. She got quite emotional about it.
That's nice. And she's in the last eight club, which she was yep, really chuffed about. That's quite a big deal for players, isn't it?
Yeah, they get tickets and things and privileges and all sorts of. They get fated when they return. Good honour.
Am I missing any other of the women's players? Yes, I am. Missing Karolina Pliskova is out. That is a shock.
To best mate of Rebel Wilson.
Who's Rebel Wilson?
Rebel Wilson is an Australian comedian.
Right. Okay.
Should probably say female because you can't tell from the name. Female comedian.
She's a movie star.
Movie star comedian, sort of crossover.
Why is everybody nodding as if to say, how do you not know?
Yeah, that's a little bit late Graham on the Rebel Wilson.
Or something, David.
First of all, I hear Rebel Wilson's here. Then I hear she's out on court three watching Pliskova Muchova.
Right.
Mukova.
Yeah.
And that was unexpected. But apparently, it all came about after the US Open last year when Mukova beat Muguruza. And there was some tweeting, and apparently that's how friendships start now.
Pretty
so
cool.
They're besties.
What a performance from her, though. She really took it to Pliskova today and beat her, 13-11?
Yeah, it was 13-11 because I was desperately waiting for the first 12-all final set tiebreak.
How long
would have been ironic if it had been in the women's, the first 12-all tiebreak.
Well, apparently John McEnroe described Pliskova on the TV this morning as reminding him of John Isner. So then Pliskova went out and did her best John Isner impression and tried to get to sort of 12-all in the final set. But it didn't happen.
The angriest I've seen you all week. You'd invested a lot of time
in that
12-all.
All the stats and it just didn't happen. I was annoyed about it. Really annoyed about it.
How much of the match did you... I was following on... There was so much going on at the same time, which is one of the reasons that that Manic Monday is always a bit of a letdown for me, because I always remember... Oh, it's just too much. It's overload of tennis. So I was following it but not watching it. Did Pliskova blow it?
Yeah, she served for the match at 11-10 in the final set and then lost three games in a row. But Mukova is a really good player. She's got a lot of variety, a lot of power. She leans into her forehand. She takes it really early, and that really caught Pliskova out. And also, Pliskova hates court two. She said earlier on in the week, I really don't like playing court two. I think she thinks it's a lot slower than the other courts. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but a lot of people have been saying that court two does play differently to the other courts.
That list you gave of those players that had lost on there.
Yeah. Unseeded players don't seem to mind playing on court two so much. You know,
Tsitsipas, Thiem, Kerber, Wawrinka, Wozniacki, Marion Herbert, Barty, Pliskova have all gone out on court two.
We've got a new graveyard.
Was number one the old graveyard?
Well, no, it was the old court two.
I thought court two was the old court two,
which used to be where court three is now.
It did look like a sort of cattle barn, the old court two, didn't it?
Yes.
With the roof.
This one
off.
Looks lovely and nice, but they all lost.
Is Mush of a drop shot dragon?
Not quite.
No.
She does play a lot.
She does play a lot.
I do like hearing the drop shot dragon just coming out unannounced like that.
We don't just. You know, christen people, drop a shot dragon willy-nilly. No.
I mean, we did at the French Open a little bit.
Vondrusheva, gone. So, what else am I missing from the women's singles?
Strzitzeva.
Oh, yeah. Strzitzeva doing the Mertens double.
Yeah.
She beat Mertens today.
Has that ever happened before, Matt?
No. I don't know.
And Strzitzeva now plays Konta.
Yep. I mean, I didn't see a ball of that match. I did interview Strzitzeva a couple of years ago in Miami, actually, in relation to Meldonium, because I think it was when Sharapova was coming back, and we asked Strzitzeva what it had been like for her when she came back from her suspension, and she was really very likable and an excellent interviewee, very sparky, really warmed to her, because she does give off a slightly grumpy impression on the court, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She doesn't look like she's enjoying it, and I wasn't necessarily looking forward to meeting her based on that impression, but she was actually really charming. So yeah, I have good things to say about her as well.
Mm. She used to be a figure skater. Well, she had to make a decision between figure skating and tennis, age 12.
Same as you. Sort of.
No, tennis wasn't on my horizon at age 12.
Oh, no, look.
You're in tennis now.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. How good was Konta?
Yeah, I mean, because...
What a performance.
Kvitova brought it, didn't she? It brought the heat in the first set, which was almost up there on a level with how she played against Bouchard in the 2014 final here. I mean, I was counting the winners. There were 17, I think, on my scoreboard after one set.
Mm.
Maybe six unforced or something. I mean, obviously she was going after it and putting a couple of forehands long, but you were like, wow, I mean, Konta did nothing wrong and was still blown away.
Pretty similar to Stevens match in that regard. Just sort of had to weather it and then come through.
But then she did drop quite quickly. So Kvitova didn't give a press conference afterwards, citing unknown personal reasons, but she did give us a statement in which she said that I had no energy in my legs. I mean, she hadn't played since Rome because of her forearm strain until she got to Wimbledon. And I did looking back at some of the analysis, you can watch the points on the screen, she did definitely lose mobility in the second set. And she said she got it back in the third, but by then Konta had really got the bit between her teeth and was playing a high level. It was a very good match. And certainly made me think that, you know, Konta, she's a contender. She's in the mix. So
look at that. He's on board with the mix. Fantastic.
Who left isn't in the mix in the women's draw?
Strzitzeva isn't in the mix, is she? Okay.
Who would you put in? Serena, Konta.
Well, there's four unseeded. Have you done the four unseeded stat? Well,
we haven't touched on Zhang yet.
Zhang, Strzitzeva, Risk, and...
I think we've put Risk in the mix. Are you happy with that?
So my editor said, what about all these unseeded players in the quarterfinal? Right? And I said, oh, don't worry, that happens all the time. You know, upsets in the women's game. It's you never know who's going to win. And then I thought, I better check. and it turned out that it hasn't happened that there have been four unseeded women in the Wimbledon quarterfinal since 97. And it's never happened... So that was when there were 16 seeds, and it's never happened with 32 seeds, which came in 2001. So it is actually quite a big development. I guess we have seen a lot of upsets, but maybe we see sort of players ranked 25, 30 who are getting to the quarterfinals, and this we've actually got four unseeded players.
Mm.
Nice.
Right then.
Is this the day that 24 got closer, though, for Serena, with Barty, Pliskova and Kvitova all going
It's happening this time.
Yeah, there's a mix and then there's Serena.
She's going.
Equally, it kind of feels like Konta's close, like, got a better chance of winning this than the French, maybe, yeah, to me. Like,
I think so.
Given that she is more comfortable.
They would
on the
meet
grass.
In the semis, correct? My mind just goes back to their meeting in Australia a couple of years ago when Konta could not have been playing better. Remember going into that? She'd beaten Radwanska in the Sydney
final.
Played
in the fourth round, didn't
they? She thrashed Wozniacki a couple of rounds earlier. I don't know.
But that's a very different Serena.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's a different Konta as well. I think it's possible that it's a better Konta now.
Well, she's certainly more world...
I think mentally it's a better Konta now.
She's just more rounded, I think. And I think she's able to understand herself better now because
she
of the low she's been
through. She knew that Kvitova was going to have a letdown today. And she waited it out. And
your stat, Catherine, that she knows she can win in three sets. She won 14 of the last 15 matches.
I did the genesis of the stat with Simon Briggs.
I'm doing a bit of a Matt Roberts today.
You are on fire. I mean, I'm not going to be able to get over the K's and S's, quite honestly.
That's my role, Simon.
He looks a bit put out. I agree with that. When I think back to that Serena Konta match, Konta actually started all right in the first game or two. She had the first break points. But then when Serena really went at her, you could see her rocked back on her heels. Like, oh my, I've not experienced anything like this before.
Just one final note on Johanna Konta, which was flagged by Russell Fuller on Five Live earlier. He said, I can't stop thinking about the first round in Rabat when she was two match points down to Yefan Wang of China. And of course she went on to reach the final in Rabat, then she reached the final in Rome, French Open semi-finals, and how different could it all have been?
The Fed Cup was big, run.
The Putin favour forehand up the line, I don't know if you've gone on about that. But
the one that Annabelle immediately circled, really, at the time, as that could be a match-changing moment, and it was. If it's a year-changing moment, really. But actually, your colleague Mike Dixon mentioned, I think you were in Miami together, weren't you, how low she was there.
Yeah, because she said that she had gone out thinking that Qiang Wang might just overrun her and that it had happened and that she really felt quite low. But she doesn't say stuff like that, does she?
No.
That's not from her verbal playbook.
No.
So,
I suppose, did you mention what Navratilova made of the Kvitova-Konta match? Because she said that the difference was that Konta could defend better. And that's another element, you know, when you talk about how she came up against Serena at the Australian Open, that slice was really effective today on defensive points. It did look quite good. It wasn't floating like it sometimes does. A couple of drop shots. She picked up a couple of points by varying the pace. So she's got more nous than she had then.
She anticipates brilliantly. If you watch her, there's one occasion when I noticed that she's sort of eyeballing Kvitova before Kvitova's about to hit the ball. And then she suddenly sets off before the ball's struck because she's read what
and
she's
going
to do.
And she has to. I mean, the pace on the Kvitova forehand and backhand both were just travelling... It's like gunfire out there when she was hitting the ball.
She must be the flattest hitter.
Well, this stat I can do because John Wertheim quoted it the other day. So she's 22 inches average clearance on the net, which puts her in equal second place.
Behind.
Can you do the behind?
Give us a letter.
Ostapenko.
Ostapenko. She's 18. It was a crazy stat because there were all these players on 22, and then Ostapenko was 4 inches lower than them.
Oh, wow. She's not into margin for error.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So the men's draw, I mean, the main runners, there's not really much point in talking about Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, who were just awesome, both of them. I mean, I think particularly Nadal was incredible today in the match that I saw.
He's my favourite.
Yeah, so if I could change my predictions, yeah. I'm going, no, I feel really strongly that Nadal's winning this. I mean, it's terrifying. He is terrifying.
Yeah, but he might have to face Novak Djokovic in the final.
Yeah, I just think he's going to kill anybody that tries to stop him from lifting the
trophy. Have you remembered how you felt before the Australian Open final?
Yeah.
Have you remembered what happened?
Oh. I'm very much aware that there's a good chance I'll be wrong, David. I'm just explaining to you how I feel right now.
No, I know this what you is, mean. He was awesome.
This is,
he was
there's awesome. Something in his eyes that is like a vampire, hungry for blood, thirsty for blood.
Do you only stay when you go out in the evening? If the roof comes over, that'll help him.
But I mean, the big three today lost 19 games between them, and this just off the back of Andy Murray's quote last night saying that he doesn't think the game's moved on in 2 years.
Well, he's
and he's right, I think.
Yeah. Because is he right? Well, have the big three moved
well,
on?
They've well,
they've
moved
maybe
on.
They've
but I mean,
moved
yeah, but that's what
if he could
that's
get back
good
to
tennis
the,
players do. They improve.
If he's fit enough, he's probably thinking, well, I could maybe get back to the top 10. You know, I don't know. Mm. We'll
yeah,
see.
I mean,
well, he's thinking he can compete with the big three.
I thought it was a bit depressing, the challenges today. Well, so, I was a bit depressed by Berrettini.
Yeah, but he was
awful.
not a challenge at all. I mean, he tried. Obviously, he tried his heart out, but he was just. He played a terrible match.
Yeah, it's
you can't simulate playing in any of them though, can you? Because there's nothing out there like them.
And that's the thing.
Particularly strong in Federer and Nadal. I mean, Djokovic is a little bit more like, I don't know, you could play Medvedev and say that's a little bit of a preparation. But how do you prepare for Federer? No one plays like him.
What was Berrettini's plan today? Someone try and tell me what the plan was. He had employed Craig O'Shaughnessy, strategist, not a good advert for his skills.
So, therefore the plan
appalling.
Was first four shots.
Yeah.
You have to be
just
in control of yourself before you can start thinking about how to defuse your opponent's game.
Yeah, but if you're employing a strategist, presumably you're stepping onto court with a plan. What was the plan?
Well, maybe we can find out. But I mean, it seemed to me that he just went out trying to destroy tennis balls with his serve, and he was hitting them at 137 miles an hour. The thing is that Federer's hand-eye coordination is so extraordinary, and he has this ability to flick and block, particularly on the backhand side, that he can defuse big serves. He's been doing it his whole career.
He knew that. His team would have known that.
But what else is he going to do? If he's a big hitter, what else do you do?
Yeah, I mean, again, I wrote a story about analytics last week. And the big three use all these analytic companies. Well, Rafa doesn't because he uses Carlos Moya, but...
seemed to work.
Set up as a sort
so Novak uses Craig. Roger uses Golden Set Analytics. But they have all these skill sets, so they can do 15 different things. And Murray was the same when he was working with analysts. But most of the younger guys... This is a classic thing. Most of the younger guys, they only have one style, and that's where they come unstuck. I mean, Zverev versus Djokovic in Paris, Zverev was beating him from the back of the court, so Novak just shrugged and brought him forward on every point he could, and it was a massacre. It's that flexibility, the different game plans that make them so superior.
And I think that advantage is magnified even more on grass, because these players don't have the experience of grass court tennis, and they get on the grass, and you know the big three have been. I think there's a reason why the big four have dominated at Wimbledon even more so than all the other slams, because they're just better at the sort of subtleties and the technicalities of it all. And
brilliant match players.
Yeah, and Federer he did that thing, Federer, of just rushing Berrettini. And
yeah, and he takes very little time through his own service games, doesn't he? Puts these serves right in the corners, one after another, and he's a minute's gone by, and he's. It's your serve again,
and there was one point where Berrettini fell over, and Federer literally laughed at him.
It was amazing.
He literally just laughed in his face.
Which is probably a bit off-putting.
That's the most Roger thing of the fortnight.
And Federer's kids are in the box laughing as well.
It was sort of a snigger, wasn't it?
Did you see his little boys participate in the Mexican way?
Yeah.
Oh, it was adorable. Yeah.
Very cool. Right, so they're all through. What else has happened? Novak Djokovic was brilliant as well. He lost how many games? Six? Seven? Seven games. Something like that.
He had won eight two sets before I'd even realised he was on court.
He beat Hugo Humbert on a court number
looked
one.
Like he was on take your son to work day.
he's not muscular, is he?
He's not muscular, Simon, no.
So we've got now Sam Querrey, who beat Tennis Sangren in four sets against Rafa Nadal. We've got Novak Djokovic against... Who?
Goffin,
who is playing fantastic.
He is playing really well.
He beat Verdasco today, and he also took a set off Nadal at the French Open. He played brilliantly at the French Open until that point as well. He reached the final in Halle.
I was going to say, and he beat Berrettini on the way in Halle, which before today was looking like a really good win.
There'll be some spectacular rallies.
I fancy my chances against Berrettini in Halle at the moment.
Okay, let's see that match.
I think Querrey might be the toughest opponent for those three in the quarterfinals.
Against Nadal.
No, I don't think he's winning, but I think he's the toughest opponent.
Querrey was live on Five Live earlier during the Federer match. Your colleague Ali Eakin interviewed him, David, and it made me laugh out loud. He didn't intend it. Ali Eakin said with a sort of twinkle in his eye, he said, so you play Nadal next, Sam. Have you seen him play this fortnight? Subtext, it is terrifying. And Sam went, oh no, I've not really seen any of it, but I heard he's playing quite well. And Ali went, yeah, he's playing really well. What's your plan for that? And he went, oh no, it's not about the plan. I'm just going to go out there, play my game, focus on my side of the court. You've lost, mate.
But that's what I was saying. He doesn't have an alternative.
No.
You know?
Well, look, you've got 2 days to think of one.
To be fair.
Because if the last 10 years has taught us anything, you suggest? Sam, your game's not good enough to beat Nadal in this form.
There's a plan.
I don't know. Underarm serve?
I mean...
Ali, you can reference that in the question. He said the only person that's barely got games off Nadal is Kyrgios, and he got, to use a Jeff Durango phrase, up in his kitchen and scrambled his eggs. Are you going to try something like that? And he went, oh, no. But,
if I could,
I'm just going to serve.
If I could, though, would you have not said the same thing 3 years ago when he faced Novak Djokovic, who was holding all four Grand Slam titles at the same time?
We know all the reasons that was different. Djokovic has talked about why that was mentally, physically difficult for him, that slam.
Kyrgios has also got, top four skills hidden away underneath the...
I'm not saying there's any possible scenario or game plan that Sam Querrey could come up with in which he would actually be successful in beating Nadal. I'm just saying, if you go out there and just try and serve big and hope that's enough...
I think that's his best chance.
I can tell you now it's not enough.
I think that's his only chance, is just to do what he does.
He's playing so slow this year. I don't think you can go out and take out somebody with... sort of 180 darts serving like the way you used to.
Raonic lost today.
So are you,
wasn't enough for him.
Are you saying Nishikori or Goffin have a better chance of beating Federer and Djokovic? Or is it all
Goffin,
to zero?
That's the best shot to me.
Goffin's got the best chance,
do you think?
I think.
Yeah. Against Djokovic? That match?
It's not going to win. It's still a 1 in 10.
What's the head-to-head? Do we know?
Goffin beat him in Monte Carlo once, but I think it's about 5-1 Djokovic.
Look, I think Djokovic is a heavy favourite, but I think Goffin is playing the best of those other three, and I think he can go toe-to-toe with Djokovic and have some success.
How was Nishikori today against Kukushkin?
More like Nishikori in Grand Slams, where he's going the scenic route when he should be going the efficient route, which is what he did for the first three matches here. I mean, Kukushkin played well, don't get me wrong.
He's been missing the scenery.
But he was certainly, he kept going up breaks of serve in the fifth set, in the fourth set rather, and losing them again. And, he put at least an extra 45 minutes into his legs that you kind of thought you shouldn't be in this position. And I don't know. He's not going to beat Roger Federer.
My features editor was on the phone earlier grumbling that he's coming on Wednesday and he's going to get a Kei Nishikori quarterfinal, because he always gets a Kei Nishikori quarterfinal every time he goes to a slam. And he says that he thinks that Nishikori might start to recognise him in the crowd. He's been so often.
My brother makes the same gags.
He also said that it reminds him of how Shane Warne once said that Monty Panesar hasn't played 30 tests. He played the same test 30 times. And that's a little bit like...
The good news is that Nishikori's not worn out.
My brother's proposal is that you give Nishikori a little trophy for winning the first week of a slam. You've made it through, you've done it in five sets every match, and then you politely ask him to remove himself from the draw so that somebody else can have a go in the quarterfinals.
Tag team.
Lucky loser coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, bless. I hope he plays well. I really do.
I do too, but...
I don't think he's going to trouble.
We've hoped that before.
I don't think he'll trouble Federer.
So then it's Guido Pella against Roberto Bautista Agut. It'd
probably be the best match.
Yeah.
Probably be an absolutely cracking match.
Yeah, if Guido Pella's got any legs left.
I mean, he's beaten the last three runners-up at this tournament now in 2 years. He's beaten Cilic last year. He's beaten Anderson and Raonic this year. He was serving for the match was Raonic at 2-1 up. And he didn't manage to get it over the line, and it's really impressive from Pella, isn't it? That he's, you know, nobody talks about him, but these are big wins. I mean, these are career wins for him.
And he had a really good clay court swing. Like, I think he went into the French Open with almost the most match wins on clay this year, and to transfer that to the grass, albeit the slightly slower grass this year. But yeah, he's great, but. I think Bautista Agut will take him out. He's not lost a set, Bautista Agut. Only player in the men's and women's left who hasn't lost a set.
He responded to being dissed by Nick Kyrgios then, Guido Pella.
Yeah.
Wasn't that right? Where was it?
In Madrid a few years ago.
He said...
I was quizzing him, but he'd beaten Guido Pella to set up a match with Stan Wawrinka, and it was the first time playing Wawrinka since the awfulness gate in Montreal a few months earlier. And... I said, "Oh, I imagine you'll be pretty pumped for that one." He said, "Yeah, I find it easier to get pumped for stuff like that than I do first rounds against Guido Pella." And he said it in the most dismissive way I've ever heard a name uttered.
And yet, Nick, you've got as far as this man at a Grand Slam now, haven't you? So, Guido Pella, take a bow. And he's into the quarterfinals, which will be played in a couple of days' time. The women's quarterfinals tomorrow starts with Alison Risk against Serena Williams at 1 o'clock on
Serena Williams has been fined $10,000. Did you pick that one up?
No,
for damaging one of the match courts on the eve of the tournament by banging her racket down.
Okay. And then Barbara Streisand.
Only broken in the last hour or so.
Against
that's interesting.
Breaking. Capital letters. Serena Williams fined $10,000. Not sure she'll notice.
Breaking the court. Konta versus Strzitova will follow that. Then it's Serena Williams and Andy Murray in the mixed doubles against Martin and Atawo, who Catherine knows all about. They've just turned on the lights here because it's getting darker.
Two podcasts in a row.
Rachel Atawo, formerly Cops Jones, has come up.
Yeah. Then on court number one, starting off is Simona Halep against Zhang Shui. Then it is Elina Svitolina, who I don't feel like I've talked about at all this tournament. Yet she's into the quarterfinals for only the second time in her whole career. Or third, and she's up against similar.
That was a soft part of the draw, wasn't it?
Karolina Mukova is her opponent.
She beat Martic today, though. And
yeah,
I
although
didn't
Martic
think
was
she
struggling
would.
Physically. She had a lot of back, she had a medical timeout on her back, and yeah, she wasn't. She was walking wounded.
Oh,
to finish is going to be Ramon Salisbury. Are to finish at 5-5 in the fifth against Continent and Piers. This is what I love about Wimbledon is when you walk about. I mean, there's so many results we don't really get chance to talk about, to bring to you. And yet, if you walk around these stands, these courts, they are packed with people just enjoying their own mini soap opera of a match, aren't they? That one we just heard departing court 18 was Jamie Murray and Bethany Mattek-Sands. One set all, 4-3 down to Pavic and Dubrovsky in the third set. I love it.
What I want to know is Team Sarandi in the mixed mix?
Sarandi.
Oh, yeah, they're leading the mix.
The mixed mix.
Yeah, they
yeah,
are. They
for
are,
sure.
I mean, they are the mix, aren't they? I mean, who's going to beat them?
Well, I think they might beat themselves in an echo of John McEnroe's Steffi Graf in 1999.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon don't bring that up. Andy Murray's got something signed in blood.
Can you not imagine
she won't do that?
If she's in the semi-final? I think Andy might come over all gentlemanly and say, Serena, you need to pull out. This is your 24th major.
No.
Simon, we don't know whether we'll have you on for the rest of the week because we know how busy you are. Is Serena going to do it? Is this the slam or is this Joe Contest time? What do you think in the women's singles?
I'm not sure Serena's doing it. No? I'm not sure she's moving well enough. I mean, maybe she'll get to moving well enough in the last three rounds. Mm. But I don't think she's moving well enough yet.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, here we go.
I think she could lose to Risk, based on what I saw from Risk today.
So who are you picking for the women's title from here, right now?
Konta.
No. Wow.
It's only wishful thinking.
It's all right, Simon doesn't have to come back on and back up that prediction.
Yeah, so it's only wishful thinking, because that would be good for me.
Charlie's already jinxed Federer and Nadal's
semi-final. We have 20,000 witnesses, it's fine.
Oh yeah, we are closer to Federer and Nadal at Wimbledon than we have been in since they met in the 08 final. They've never been within one round of each other.
Are we going to get it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, who's going to put them out?
We've just spent 20 minutes dismissing the chances of both Nishikori and Sam Querrey. So, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Fine. It's a massive match in the context of 20 versus 18 slams. Yeah. Crikey.
So
big. Man, I am pumped. Right, well, it's deserted here on the hill at the moment. It's getting dark. So, Simon Briggs, lovely to have you back with us on the Tennis Podcast.
I just want to say that that is the best Biltong I've ever tasted.
Is it?
Oh. Wait till you try the brownies.
Thanks for leaving me, Sam. I'll have my wine over it. Matt Roberts, Catherine, thank you for joining us. It's been lovely.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it immensely. And we'll be back with another Tennis Podcast tomorrow, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com with our mascot. Got Rio with a Y, and with the light fading and Manic Monday done for another year, we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.